This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
New year, new me? Cute. But how about new year, new money? With Experian, you can actually take control of your finances. Check your FICO score, find ways to save, and get matched with credit card offers, giving you time to power through those new year's goals you know you're going to crush. Start the year off right. Download the Experian app. Based on FICO score 8 model. Offers and approval not guaranteed. Eligibility requirements and terms apply. Subject to credit check, which may impact your credit scores. Offers not available in all states. See Experian.com for details. Experian.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast, coming to you from Studio B tonight.
Studio B, okay. I'll start this shit.
Took the first time.
I knew it would. Yeah. We've decided this is Studio B.
Who's we?
Me and Andy.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
The other studio
there needs
better.
To be some modifications over there.
We can do that. That's not a problem.
Listen, I have a mini fridge.
Yeah.
I could have had one.
Studio A has a mini fridge.
I've got a real fridge with beer in there that you need to drink.
My TV's bigger.
I got a bigger one over there.
That one's not in the studio.
This has a cedar table.
We can move this over there.
Our sign is there.
Rich mahogany.
Yeah. Our sign is right there.
There's a Sweet Pioneer sign.
Yeah, that's why he wants it to be Studio A.
Comes off the wall.
He wants it to be Studio A because he wants to sell seed.
Absolutely.
I mean, if I was a business.
Honestly, I just like it because it riles you up.
No, it doesn't. I love it. I don't mind it. My wife actually likes it a lot.
I prefer that studio. I'm going to be honest.
It's cool. I don't give a shit what you prefer, though.
It doesn't bother me either way. So
I'm okay. I'm going to
be late no matter where it's at.
It can be my own house.
I'm okay with changing it up no matter what we do. You know, every once in a while, we do it at Andy's basement, your house, on site. It's what keeps it fresh.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All three of us tonight. This is actually a combination with our buddy Drew over at Predator Podcast.
The Predator.
Predator. So,
we're actually on his show today.
Coyote Killer up in Wisconsin.
Yeah. He does a lot of coyote hunting out there. So,
should have asked him about the Packers in the playoffs.
I don't even know.
They were in the playoffs.
I still don't even know who's in the playoffs. I have no idea. Couldn't tell you. I haven't watched football in like
football teams.
Yeah.
Ever since Patty got hurt, I was like, yeah, I'm done.
Did you really even watch then?
I mean, I watched. I could care less, but I watched.
Gotcha. Huh? That makes sense.
Yeah. So.
Ever since Peyton Brady quit playing. I mean,
exactly. I slept fine no matter what.
So we're on Drew's show today. So yep. You'll hear.
Double dipping.
Yeah, we're double dipping. We're going to release on our side. And then obviously you will be able to hear us on the Predator Podcast if you prefer.
Yeah. So make sure you go check out his stuff.
So we got some sponsors to go through. We have an announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of two. By the time you hear this, we might be out on our own by then. Don't know for sure, but it's going to be soon.
Yeah. So make sure you're following
everything's
us.
Underway.
Yeah. So make sure you're following us on our page, not
subscribe on
Apple, Spotify,
wherever you YouTube. Listen to. Just we're not going to be on the
network
no more.
Sportsman's Empire.
Yeah, the Sportsman's Empire.
Our other announcement is we have a new partner.
Yeah. One that we're excited about.
We are.
Very excited.
It's 10 minutes from my house.
It's a natural fit.
It is.
And it's somebody we like and we trust.
Yeah. So Aerodynamics Bow Shop in technically a Warrensburg, Missouri address. Awesome indoor range and outdoor range. And then a bow shop with Kevin Robbins, who is one of the best bow workers.
Technicians
ever. And then his guys that work with him are terrific. And then actually a guy we used to have work on our bows a lot, I think,
still comes in.
Yeah, Frank.
I say it kind of went full circle because we started out with Frank and Kevin helped Frank at that time.
And mm-hmm. now we're going to be working with Kevin.
Yep.
And I think Frank helps. So Evolved Archery back in Warrensburg. I don't know if they're still open or not. I think it's gone.
Yeah.
But Frank ran that. That's where I originally met Kevin back in the day.
Right.
He was a young kid then. And he just learned and learned and learned. And now he's got his own shop, sells pretty much every brand of bow that you can think of, and is a new partner to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast.
We appreciate you, Kevin.
Yeah, so
we're excited.
Check them out. We'll get some more information out on different shows, like, you know, phone numbers and address to the shop.
Yeah,
but that's just we literally went and had dinner with him tonight, and kind of finalized everything.
Right.
So, anyways, moving on. Gun stuff. Huxworks. When you hear this, we will be there.
Yeah.
Me and you. Not you.
I'm jelly.
Me and you will be at a SHOT Show with Huxworks next week. And I get to leave a day earlier than I wanted to. Yeah. Actually, 2 days technically. But wait, you fly out the next night, I guess, don't you?
Yeah, you're leaving 21st. We fly 22nd. So yeah. It's not a lot, but it's enough.
It's a day.
To make
miss a day. Yeah. But get to be somewhere else. So we're going to be with them at the
– Damn kids.
The shot game. Yeah. Damn senior night. Do you really have to be there? Well, I kind of am her father. her dad is playing with guns instead of being
– I can walk with her. I got you, bro.
No. I don't want anyone thinking that you have anything to do with that girl. I'm just kidding.
She's literally my niece.
I know, but look at that face.
I've known her since she was a little baby.
Yeah, I know.
Her whole life.
Anyways.
Yeah. Athlon Optics.
Athlon Optics. They're going to be at SHOT Show, too. We're going to go say hi to them. Check them out. We talked about them in our show with Drew here.
Yep.
Midwest Gunworks was also talked about.
Also talked about.
In the show.
Definitely.
Andy had to buy some magazines for his Seiko S20.
They got all kinds of gun supplies.
Micah's Seiko S20.
Maybe. They're thinking about doing a trade.
Maybe. We'll see.
Lucky Buck. I have not stuck mineral out. We need to. They need to be.
They're still hitting it. I still got a camera up from Reveal. And, yeah, they're still hitting that mineral. So they're probably going to start getting on a little heavier that, you know. Season's over by the time you listen to this. Ends tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now time to replenish.
Replenish the Reveal cameras, which I just turned off.
Need to do that.
Yeah. I
need to
just the other day.
I don't want to turn it off yet.
What do you call it? Suspended
batteries. Yeah.
Mine's on the 9th is when it reduces, so I'm gonna end it so it'll end February 9th or whatever. So.
Do you know if you end it, it'll end it. You still get them.
They go ahead and shut off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and end it that way. So I don't have to pay for February going forward. Because, I mean,
I need to go
see the point.
Pick up some cameras because I turned them off and my blind is laying on the ground now.
So it happens.
I knew it would.
Get your stuff.
Also, Jason Patterson with Whitetail Properties. Give him a call at 816-824-6282. Man, I'm getting old,
you
dude.
Dyslexic.
Oh, that and retarded, but that one was just hard to see.
Whoa. Now's a great time to be checking out properties.
Yeah.
Jason and I have talked about this, and it's a good time to buy them because a lot of people are kind of like waiting.
Yeah, it's kind of a waiting game.
So check them out.
Not a lot of competition.
And then finally, on X, use our code MWW20 for 20% off. We talked about this on our show.
Get you the elite.
Yeah, last week. All the damn different colored pins and stuff like that. And Andy mentioned folders during tournaments. That was a great idea. Next tournament I do.
Working on it for this weekend.
Yeah, perfect. We are not hunting that tournament this weekend, but we're planning on hunting that night. Friday night is the tournament, right?
Just get in the tournament.
Not with two dudes. Need more rifles. Yeah. More rifles.
I mean, I would do it. But he don't want to do it.
No. I need a third rifle.
Yeah.
At least a third rifle.
You doing you doing the Mo 19ers too?
Typically we do. But
you going to do Saturday?
No, we just do it Friday.
Saturday, I think it's
also, I'm using some reverse engineering.
Psychology? What's that called?
Yeah, reverse psychology. Because usually when I don't hunt in a tournament, I kick ass. If I'm in a tournament, I get my ass kicked.
And honestly, we just need to go kill some dogs.
Yeah, I just want to go kill some shit.
We just need to go kill some stuff.
So
get out.
If we had a third rifle, I would have done it just because, you know, we talked about this the other night, Andy. Like, you get a quad come in. Well, then with four dudes, like, hopefully all four dogs die, right? With two guys, you can hopefully guarantee two of them and then hopefully get the other two after the first shot. It's just like in a tournament, let's just think you get like three of those situations where you could have killed at least another dog with another rifle. You're going to lose.
I feel like you're taking it way too much.
I'm not spending $150 to get my ass beat.
You're worried too much about it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Good luck. He's overthinking? What?
What? What?
Nathan?
No, not me.
Not me. Thomas.
Not me.
Yeah.
But so that's what we're doing today is go on someone else's show. Is this a first?
No,
we've been on.
No, I know we've been on shows before.
Not Wade's.
Yeah, but he was on our show.
Yeah, and then he played it.
Have we ever been on someone else's show where we played that on our show?
I don't know.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah. Drew, like we appreciate you.
Can we do this more where you do all the work and we just.
Let's not keep the people waiting.
Yeah, let's get into this show with, let's get into our show. With Drew of the Predator Podcast.
From Studio B.
The lesser of the Studios.
This is
the Missouri, Missouri Woods and Water Podcast
coming to you from Studio A.
What's up, guys? Predator Podcast, Season 4. I got the fellows from Missouri Woods and Water, Andy, Micah, Nate. These guys are gracious enough to all three of them join me tonight, so I'm excited to have them. And I know their schedules are busy, so to get all three of them together and join me has is fun. So thank you, fellas, for coming on today.
Yeah, for sure, brother.
Absolutely, man.
That's how you know how much we are excited to do this, that you got all three of us.
That's how important you are.
Yeah, right.
Especially Andy.
I was waiting for
this guy's like a unicorn.
Yeah. Only shows up every once in a while, and you better capture that moment when you can.
He'll pop out, you know?
He came with his coyote hat on and everything.
That's right.
He does. Yeah, his Texas Predator Hunter.
Talk about coyotes on here, man.
Yeah.
Talk about coyotes on here.
Exactly. What have you guys been up to? Have you guys been killing any dogs?
One of us has, and it's unfortunately, I mean, it's started off slow for me
And myself.
Me and Nate are usually the ones that we hunt together a lot, and we've only been out one time so far this year, so it's kind of started slow. We're gonna get out this weekend some.
It's early.
Yeah.
Does your season start January 1?
It does this year.
For thermal, obviously, you know, daytime coyotes, it's year-round besides turkey season for us. But thermal started on the 1st.
And this is the first year for Missouri. Like, it's brand new. Normally, it was February, March, and in 2026, it starts January 1 through September 30. So it got a lot longer. We went from 2 to 9 months. Big change.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm curious how it's going to affect coyote numbers, honestly. We've had, you know, debates on our show about it, and we're wondering how it's going to go starting, you know, this year and stuff. Yeah. But Andy, he's been hitting them hard already. He's won, what, one tournament so far, and how many tournaments you been in?
Just done two so far. I have a third this weekend. But we started – there's one daytime tournament there towards the end of December we did, and we won it, which was it's just a very small local tournament that I don't know. It's a fundraiser-type deal that, like I said, not many teams, but it's, I don't know, kind of a bragging rights-type tournament for fun. So we won it with six dogs, daytime dogs, which is – I don't know. For me, that's like about as good as it gets.
I mean, that's a good day.
Daytime calling, it's tough.
That's a good day.
Yeah.
So did that, and then the first week of January, we jumped on a thermal tournament. Kids' schedules and everything. Like, that is the good thing. Of all three of us, I am the most anti, like, extended thermal season. I love thermal season. I didn't like it. However, I am the biggest hypocrite also because I've done it the most.
Yeah.
So with, you know, family schedules and everything, it allowed me to go do a thermal tournament as opposed to the explicit daytime tournament we normally do out of Harrisonville, which is probably the best daytime tournament.
Yeah.
Definitely the
best
one. I'm
going to say probably in the state.
Yeah, it's the best run
tournament.
Best
one
we
do, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And so I did a thermal tournament that same weekend and – did not place, however, we got into them. We killed seven, which it took a little bit to knock the rust off. You guys experienced it, the taste, a couple days
We should
prior.
Have multiple coyotes dead.
Yeah. Realistically, should have killed 12. We put seven in the truck. So shooting was not up to snuff. Calling, I think I seen 19 dogs on stand that night, which pretty good night. And it was all on new ground that we hadn't been to before. Yeah. So
nice.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And then I think I went out one other time, maybe two since then. I went out the other night and called in seven. I don't want to talk about how many got in the truck.
Yeah. But obviously that's just part of, you know, you talk about shaking the rust off because, we haven't thermal hunted since last February.
Right.
Because that was when the season was for Missouri before this year. And Micah and I, you know, we went up. He's got an awesome place where he used to deer hunt up. We call it up north, a couple hours north of where we live in Missouri still.
Yep.
And we were really excited. One of the landowners got a picture of a black coyote that day. And so we were like, oh my gosh, we're going to go kill this freaking black coyote. I'm yeah. about to get a huge taxidermy bill. It's going to be awesome. We did it so we would start hunting basically right at midnight on January 1st, right?
Yep.
We were really excited about it. Go up there, hang out, cook some steaks, had some fun, made sure our thermals were on. We get on our first stand, and we told this story on our show already, so if you're yeah. listening, you've heard it if you've heard us. But first stand, I get into my second sequence of distress, and we get two or three coyotes, we think two, just hard charging from 600, 700 yards away. And they come around this set of hay bales. And then when they get within eye shot of the call, they kind of start circling.
Yep.
And this is where the rust was kind of like.
Yes, yeah, like, you know, you forget everything that you did.
Yeah.
the yep. prior year.
So I've got the LRF on my thermal. And Micah's like, how far are they? And I'm like, 160. And I'm just kind of watching. And next thing you know, I hear, ooh, and I look at him. I'm like, why'd you just try to stop him? We start arguing.
During the middle of the stand.
Children. The coyotes don't stop.
Yep.
Then I get into my rifle, see one, for some reason shoot at it, miss it because I'm so pissed off. I don't know, flustered. The coyotes yep. take off. Micah takes a shot at one running, and then I go into prey distress. And then one of them comes back.
Pup. You wanted a pup.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pup distress.
Yeah.
One of them comes back, and Micah's like, hey, it's behind me. So I moved to where I could see it also. He's like, how far? I say, 137. Boom. And I look at him like, we're not going to do a countdown? Like, we just start there arguing. Long story short, right after that happened, we looked at each other, and we're like, we got some rust on us.
Yeah, we yeah. totally – we just botched that whole thing, man. It's fine, you know.
Yeah.
We have a long season now. So.
Yeah. Of course, they couldn't just come in slow and controlled for you guys to
right.
you know, get to talk about it and them come and stand there and say, shoot me.
Yeah. And we really could have. It was just one of those, like, we forgot that.
I mean, you know how you get – like, I'm sure you got a few – buddies that you hunt with, and you get into that rhythm of things. Yep. Everybody kind of knows everybody's role, and you know, yep. once they hit this threshold, that's when, hey, if they stop, that's when we're going to start doing our countdown or blah blah blah. You get into a rhythm of who you're hunting with, and it's just been so long that we were both rusty, we were both pissed off after, you know, yeah. after it all happened, and it just didn't work out. But you know, towards the end of the season, that's when it's money, you know. You get everybody on the same page, and, you know, yeah. 3-2, bang, everybody's on it.
Can't even yep. tell if everybody's shot.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, you're hearing one shot, and that's when it really gets fun.
And that's the communication yep. with thermal hunting. I mean, even if you have some, like, some fundamental differences in how you like – so, for instance, last year when we were just humming, we had a similar situation where dogs came in. We could have shot them at 180 to 200 – but I've always wanted to let dogs work that aren't alert, and I'll let them come to, you know, 50 yards if they're going to come. And in that situation, Mike is like, hey, let's shoot them. And I was like, nah, we'll let them work. And we just let them work. They came to what, like 80?
Yeah, 80 to 100.
And then we counted down and killed them, right? In that situation, we had the time to communicate. He likes to shoot them when they can be shot. I sometimes like to let them just get as close as they're going to get
right.
with, you know, by reading their body language, that sort of stuff. But with that first sit of the year, it was just one of those deals where we did not communicate and it did not go well. And yep. that's hunting.
Yep.
So
I think one of the most challenging things to do in predator hunting is to maintain your calm, especially if you're with buddies. If you're by yourself, it's one thing. But like if you're with, you know, your two buddies or whatever, is everybody maintaining their calm when you get a hard charging pair or two or three, and when they're going to run the call over mm-hmm. is
yeah.
trying to maintain. Like we had one when we were in Kansas that like we played a lone howl and they howled back. They were, you know, just over the hill, turned on rabbit, and they just were running straight at the call. and the dog I'm on is on the right. My buddy's on the left one. I'm on the right one. It stops and stands there at like probably 100 yards. And I'm like, I should probably shoot.
I should drop this dog. Yeah.
But the left one was still coming hard. And I'm like, I'm trying to let my other buddy get his stopped and shot, and then I'll figure out the second one. And then he got excited, shot while he was on the charge still.
Oh, no.
Missed.
Yep.
The one I was on goes out and stops. My gun wasn't loaded.
Oh, no.
Yep.
So, it happens.
There was that. And then I did end up getting one of the two killed after about four shots. But it's just one of
those
things.
That's one of those deals where at least the rust was there. You know what hit the fan. Things didn't go well. But when you're done, you can be like, well, at least we killed one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sure. It's when they all live.
Way worse.
Yeah, when you got a triple comes in and a triple leaves, that's when it's like, what just happened, man? Yeah.
That happened to me the other night, and what flustered me is they didn't follow my plan.
Yeah.
I had it set up well. I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I had a pond on the upwind side.
Oh, you told me this story, yeah.
And so they're coming in. I howled one time, and they come off the top of this hill. I couldn't see. They're just over the hill. I howled one time. I see heads start coming, and it's one of those things we snuck in below them. And three of them come off the top of this field and are charging down. I'm like, oh, perfect. They're at a side wind. Like, we're not up and we're not downwind. They're coming straight side wind. We're on the other side of a pond dam, and I have water to the upwind side, to the south.
Is this the place we've been?
This is the first time I ever hunted
really?
This place.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it is like sprint. They're sprinting down. This pond dam is probably 220 yards across. The call is probably, let's say, 30 yards. So it's 180 yards for ish, 990 from them to the call. They just put on the e-brake and just stop at the other end of this pond dam and just are looking. And they're bouncing around, jumping back and forth. They have no clue, but yet they're still cautious. They go to circle the whole pond. It's like a 3-acre pond. Yeah. I'm like, oh, no. By the time they do this, they'll definitely have our wind. Like, and then they'll be way out there. We can't get a shot. So we stopped them at about 250. And it's one of those things. They're all three just turning inside of each other and just still excited. They stopped, but they're kind of like quartered away, quartered to, like, not in great positions. And wind was – I'll make every excuse I can.
But yeah.
Wind was blowing. They're barking. No.
You're not a coyote hunter unless you got excuses.
Yeah. We missed. We missed, I'll say that. So,
and that's the first story I've heard where, like, any time we've been near a pond and a pond dam, they always come across the pond dam.
Dude,
like,
I thought we had, like, I have a funnel. They're going to come straight. We're going to shoot one, and then that next one's going to turn and run straight away, and I'm going to shoot that one. I had a plan. Like, I was just going to start stacking them.
Yeah.
And then they wouldn't come. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Whoa, come back here. Come back here. Nope.
So long story short, Predator Podcast listeners, welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water guys who suck at coyote hunting.
Tell you what not.
We're talking about
not,
all of our failure right now.
Not to do.
Yeah. No, I think it's not talked about enough is how much failure there is in the sport. And that's why I think it's so hard and so hard for new people to stick with it is because it is so challenging. And these things happen so fast sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I'm thinking back to a stand last year that made me switch to a bolt gun. I called in a 9-pack.
Oh,
and man.
And they piled right in, and I should have killed probably at least five of them. And I shot the one, like, squared it up in the chest at, like, 40 yards. And then, you know, of course, instead of just shooting at all the other ones that are standing there, I just keep shooting at that one that I just squared up.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm like, gosh, why did I do that? That thing was dead on its feet. I just kept shooting at it. Yeah. And then we ended up getting three, I think, but we probably could have easily had five.
Right.
And I was just like, man, I need to stop doing this. Like,
yeah.
I just can't stop myself from pulling the trigger.
Dude, that's
I'm with you.
Yeah. Andy's real bad about, I mean, if he's got it in the magazine, he's going to, you know, leave some brass on
as
that set.
As they say, shoot maybe, no shoot, no maybe.
I switched to a bolt gun 2 seasons ago, and I don't think I'll ever run anything but a bolt gun anymore.
I don't think I will either. I just, I have no self-control with it. With a magazine full of bullets.
Right. I just
can't stop shooting. And like, I know people are going to laugh and say, dude, that's just a personal problem, which I'm aware. But
yeah. Well, I found that I take a little bit. I always seemed to rush the shot a little more when I had the AR because I knew that if I was quick enough and I was good enough, I could get, if we had a double, more it was on. Like I could get on that second dog. And so yeah. I would always rush that first shot rather than take my time, get that kill, and then move. If you can get the next kill, sure, great. So I'd always rush it. With the bolt, I'm like, my goal, like if, you know, my goal is this one dog. If I get that one dog, I did it.
Yep. My job hopefully, is priority number one.
Yeah.
Anything
yeah.
else is bonus.
Hopefully right. my buddy next to me can get that other dog. Mm-hmm. And if not, then we, you know, we can let hell loose. But
yeah,
take care of the one thing and then go from there.
Yeah. And you guys are all shooting suppressed, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I've gotten so bougie about it. I don't think I'd ever hunt with anybody that wasn't suppressed.
I wouldn't either. Yeah. Yeah, I don't even shoot a 22 unsuppressed anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I just am like, screw it. Like, once you go to the suppressor, it's just you
it's hard
can't
to go back.
It's yeah. real, and it, obviously the sound. The thing that got us, we were all going to get suppressors. This is back when we first started thermal hunting, when Missouri first got their season.
I think it was like 3-4 years ago. I think
I was going to say, it's only been a few years.
No, it hasn't been five.
Four years. 4 years now.
Yeah, 4 years maybe.
Myself, Andy, and another one of our friends went to a spot. And this was probably like, what, 1 a.m. by the time we get there?
Yeah.
We get 2 coyotes come in behind us. And if I remember correctly, it was our friend's first time thermal hunting.
Yeah.
And you and I had only done it a handful, like a few times.
Maybe.
And so we get these come in, and did we only have 2 guns?
Yeah, we only had 2 guns.
That's what I thought. Okay. And I think it was you and our friend just unleashed fury, and nobody was suppressed. Nobody's doing anything illegal. There's nothing, yep. like, but we get done, and we're like, we need to get
dirty.
The hell out of here. Like, we feel like the cops are going to get called.
Yeah,
because
you feel dirty almost.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not suppressed, if you're hunting at night, you feel a little dirty just going out there.
You know, we sound like the raw biggest it. Bougie
person. I mean, I get it. I mean, like, if you don't have a suppressor for whatever reason, hey, do your thing,
man.
You're not
doing anything wrong.
Like,
yeah,
no. Just, you know, if I hear a gunshot at night, I know that, oh, dude, some guy just smacked a dog.
In that tournament that we did, the nighttime tournament, that was the first time I have been out in the 4 years that we, you know, we're shooting suppressed and everything, and we just hear a go woo.
Yeah.
And it's probably, I don't know, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. You knew exactly where that guy was, and we're probably 2 miles away from him.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, and yeah. And that's just it. Like you said, you're not doing anything wrong, but people around don't know that you're coyote hunting. And so then all of a sudden you just alert the entire half the county that, you know, somebody doesn't know how to shoot over here.
They're shooting at night.
You and know, we're shooting just at night, not illegally. It's just, once again, whereas now I got a landowner that we set up like 55 yards behind his house, behind his barn, when we thermal hunt. And he'll text me after we leave, did you kill anything? And I'm like, yeah, we killed 3. Did you not hear us? Nope.
Yeah.
You know, and not that it's that quiet, but it just cuts that much of the sound out.
Yeah.
That if you're not paying attention, you might not know that anybody shot a rifle. And so, yes, we're all suppressed, and that's all.
And not only the best sound in the world is the psh,
smack.
Yeah,
that you can hear.
Yeah, that's how you know if you hit them or not.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, you don't hear that smack. It's like, dang, we better think about some follow-up shots here, try to get this thing stopped.
Because you could heart shot a coyote, and unless you hear it, it's taken off like nothing just happened.
Yeah, we've had that happen. You know, I shot one at that same spot Nathan was talking about. I shot it. It was at 20 to 30 yards away. I mean, almost point-blank shot, real close. I was like, did we even hit it?
Yeah, just took off running.
Yeah, it was a heart shot. We went and did the stand. Like, we were walking in, and he walked out. I shot him real quick. Went and did the stand, and we came back. We're like, I don't know if I shot him or not. I mean, I felt good. And we go over there, and we found blood. He ended up running at like 100 yards or something like that.
Yeah.
We found him, but you got to hear that smack.
And that's when I decided not to shoot the 6.5 Grendel anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
That wasn't that time, but it happened
to you and many others.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you guys shooting for rifles? And give us the nuts and bolts of each of your setups. Your gun, your suppressor, your thermal.
You want to go daytime first, or do you want to do both?
Both.
We'll do daytime first. I guess I'll start.
Go for it.
Daytime, I've got several rifles, but the one that goes out the most right now, because I'm most confident in it, is I've got a Springfield Armory Waypoint 2020 6 Creedmoor. I am shooting 80 grain ELD VTs, I think.
Yep.
Yep, out of it. And it's got a Hux Works suppressor, 7.62 Ti on it. And we all run Athlon tripods, you know, daytime and nighttime. But so that's my daytime gun. I've got a few other ones. It's just I'm most confident with the 6 Creed right now. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
That 80 grain VT is a mean bullet.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I shoot in my 243, and it not fur friendly.
That's okay.
Yeah. They're not worth anything anyway.
Not down here, at least.
Yeah.
It's dead friendly.
Yeah, dead friendly. That's what I like.
That's what we like.
Yeah.
We
dead right exactly. there friendly.
Right.
Yep, exactly.
For my daytime rig, I'm running a Ruger Gen 2 Predator 243. I got the MDT field chassis on it, and Midas Tech glass. And my gun seems to like the Winchester, I believe it's the 85 grain soft points. Yeah, I've had the best luck with that. I haven't played with it too much on different ammo. I've been wanting to get some of that 1776 loaded stuff.
Yeah,
I hear good things about that place. So I'm probably going to order some stuff from them, try some different things. But so far, I mean, that gun works pretty good. So
my daytime, I'm like Nate. I have several. I like to dabble.
Yep.
But old trusty is still the Ruger. I always forget the Ruger Go Wild edition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the 16 1/4 inch barrel, a little shorty.
Yep.
Got it off our buddy Cody, and Athlon Helos is my go to scope. That's kind of my favorite now, behind the Midas or in front of the Midas Tac for me. But the Helos 4x20. And then it likes the 70 grain Sierra Prairie enemies, which you cannot find them factory anymore. So thankfully Austin started loading.
Yeah.
And he has redeveloped it for me for that gun. But again, Athlon tripod, all that good jazz. The Huxwerk 6-Flow is what I went with, just because everything I shoot for the most part is 6mm or below.
Yep.
So kind of trying to, one, stay a little envelop quieter.
All of them.
Yeah, stay a little quieter, but also just kind of.
That's what's nice about 30 cal cans. I mean, it pretty well covers almost everything you're going to.
Right, it covers everything. Know, so I wanted a little bit more specialized instead of a, you know, I don't know. Because every time I go out, it's a 6mm of some sort. So that's the daytime rig.
Yeah. What is it that you run, just out of curiosity?
I have a Ruger American Gen 2 Predator 243.
Yeah.
I have it in an Outlier chassis. And I just got an Otter Creek Hydrogen L 6.5. And man, is it quiet. I just shot it the other day, and I never realized it. Like, I never would have thought, like, with a 243, you'd notice so much less recoil, but I noticed the way less recoil too.
Yeah.
Which is odd. But
it is weird. Yeah. Like, we've heard, and we're not going to run down any suppressor companies, but we've heard that from, like, Andy's got a certain suppressor that I guess our friends are like, that thing's loud.
I've never noticed it, but several other people.
Yeah. And then I have, before I got my Hux Works, I had some other suppressors. I still use them because I have to at the current moment, but, that when I shot that, I was like, okay, that is quieter. You know, now I've never had a flow-through suppressor before that, so I don't know if that's part of it, where everything I've had before was baffle style.
Right.
But, anyway. Nighttime, thermal gun, I do have just the one that I'm very happy with. I'm the one guy in this whole group that is got the AR still. I run a 6 arc. It's a Black Rain Ordnance, and then gosh, I'm already forgetting the upper and the lower. It's a big name, but I forgot the name. Six Arc running the 80 grain ELD VTs out of that one also. And I've got
you like it in the Six Arc?
I love it. I'll tell you a quick story, I guess, after I get through the rest of it. But it's got an Athlon. I use an Athlon Kronos 640 with LRF on it for the thermal. But quick story on those 80 grain ELD VTs. So I was shooting the 103s because that's all you could get factory at the time. Those 80s came out. I actually bought some aftermarket stuff from Druid Hill.
Yeah,
And I never got to shoot them because those 80s came out. So I bought a 100 of them.
Yep.
And me and Micah went out last year, I think on a depredation
tag. Yeah, it was a depredation tag because it was early.
And so I was shooting them really good. I felt comfortable with them, but I hadn't shot a coyote with them yet.
Yep.
And we had a double come in, shot the first one. Micah couldn't get on the second one. Was looking for it still.
Something, I can't remember.
I see it, so it looks like it's about to take off, so I shoot. And what I thought I saw was the bean field. I thought I saw my bullet hit the bean field behind the coyote. And why I thought I missed is because it smacked him so hard. Like, it sounded like I hit dirt.
Yeah.
And then the coyote disappears, so I'm like, damn it, I think I missed him. And so I put my laser on it. Me and Micah go looking.
Well, no, I saw it through the scope.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because by that time, I just got on it whenever he followed up, was able to shoot that one. And I saw its body expand, like, in my thermal. Like, you could, he shot high. It was, like, you know, probably 2 inches higher than what you would want. But his whole, like, his spine, like, came out almost. Like, it was gnarly. Like,
and I was positive. I was like, damn it, I missed. Well, anyway, we get up to him, and no, he was right. Like, I just exploded him.
Yep.
And the rest of that season, I want to knock on wood because I don't want to jinx myself for this year, but the rest of that season, any coyote that got hit with those 80s fell right there.
Yep.
And so I'm very happy with him. Yep. But anyway, Six Arc AR. I don't have a problem with spraying. I will spray if I have to. But typically, hey, I control myself.
Yeah,
you're better than me. I'll give you credit for that.
We'll spray if we have to, though. I'll empty the 10-round mag.
There's been a few. There's been a few stands where we've been out there and we just couldn't get them to commit, and they're out there at, like, you know, 600-700 yards. And you know what? Screw it. Let's just send them and just keep sending them. You know, it'll happen.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, sure you don't.
But I'm running a Howa M1500 22-250. For my night rig, I got it in a AB Arms chassis. That one I'm running a rugged suppressor on. It's loud. It's still loud. And then also the same, I got the Athlon Kronos for the thermal. So we all run the Athlon 640s on those. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy with it. I want to switch it.
What are you shooting out of it?
Super Performance. I've been running the Hornady 50s? Super. Yeah, 50 grain Super Performance. Everything I hit, man, it smacks them down pretty good. So, been happy with that. I want to switch it. I like the 243 better. I like the 243. So, I'm probably going to get rid of that and get me another 243. I don't know what exactly I'm going to go with yet, whether it be a big
hopefully that one you showed me tonight.
Trading my Seiko.
I mean, I'm tempted. I am tempted. Yeah. Don't tempt me, bro. But yeah, so I'm a 243 guy, and so I'll probably switch that. I don't know if it'll be this season or not, but you know, I mean, every dog I've shot with it kills. So, I mean, everybody knows the 22-250 is going to make top five predator guns out there. So nothing wrong with it.
Andrew,
I am currently running a Seiko S20 Precision 243. I've been bouncing back and forth between 75 grain VMAX and the 70 grain Prairie King, Prairie Enemies out of them. They're shooting my identical. I can't find the difference. And maybe I'm sure at longer distances.
Sure, a distance maybe.
But 0 to 300 right now, they've been just stacking them on there. So I've been kind of whatever's available with that. I am having a little bit of a problem. We talked about this on the last episode.
Yeah, but that's not anything that you're doing wrong.
It's not nothing to me. I got a new magazine, brand new magazine sitting at home for it. I went ahead and ordered it.
Yeah.
And it's
feeding them just fine. So I think it's just my magazine. One, the spring got and weak. Two, I made a little modification, and I did not have any issues last time I went out. So
I guess Andy found out there was a known issue with the Seiko S20 and feeding, and he actually experienced that, what, last time that you were hunting?
It was in the tournament that I did.
Yeah.
That's part of the reason we should have about five more dead coyotes. Yeah. I wasn't getting follow-up shots. Because I would get my first shot, and I go to rack the bolt, and...
But where are you going to make those shots?
One.
Where are you going to? Were you?
We'll never know.
Two of them 100%. The coyote's standing there. No question that was happening. At least two. But the others, I never got an opportunity because I just...
Right.
It wouldn't push the bullet far enough up for me to cycle the next one. And so, it was kind of a disaster.
So you Google, what did you Google, like magazine, and then you
found... I was just going to order a new magazine.
That there was a known problem. They stopped producing the S20, I guess. And so he's trying to fix that issue because it's a good, shooting gun.
The thing shoots great.
Yeah.
You find an aftermarket magazine, or did you have to get
one? It's all proprietary magazines from them.
Nice.
So... Midwest Gunworks has them in stock if anybody's looking for one. So I have another one, and it's working just fine. So I think it's a combination of it gets a little bit dirty, and the spring gets maybe a little weak. I left it sitting in my gun safe with a loaded magazine, and I wonder if that didn't make a difference there. So first time I ever had an issue with it, and – we made a few modifications with it, so I think I'm good to go on it. But otherwise, it stacks dimes. Love the gun. And then the Athlon Kronos Pro with the LRF is, I think, what we all run.
Yeah, right now.
What else we got? Tripods.
Athlon tripods. We all run
those. We all run a little different version of that tripod. I think I run the smallest one. You run the next one. Oh, do you?
No, we run the same. His is the...
Yours is the big fat one.
I downgraded one.
Oh, did you?
So
you...
I did have the big fat one. I have the 30. Instead of the 36, I have the 32.
Yeah. And then we have the 29.
It's still taller than what I need.
Yeah.
I'm 6'5".
Well, even the small one would work for you.
Probably.
We were worried about that when we first got those, and then we set them up. We're like, okay. Yeah, he's 6'6", 6'7". What are you?
6'7".
Gosh.
I have 6'5".
So he was worried about, the tripod being tall enough.
Yeah.
So when we first got him, we set up the smallest one, the shortest one, and it would have worked for him.
Yeah.
But anyway.
But
interesting.
I do run the...
What do you guys run for calls?
All of them?
I own three. The Fox Pro X24 is by far and away my favorite one. I have used the other ones before. I used one the other week just because I've never used it before. I actually bought an Icotec from
TB.
From Tony TB.
Oh, gotcha.
And I just wanted to play. I've never used it before, and we were having a bad night, so I was like, that was the same night from the story I told you. Yep. And so we just tried it on a few stands, but I'm just so comfortable with my X24 that is the one I prefer. I also have a Lucky Duck rough neck, I believe. Right, Andy? Isn't that what we have? We have the same one, don't we?
No, you got...
Oh, you've got the Revolt.
I have a Revolt and a rough neck.
So the X24, I've got a Lucky Duck rough neck, and then the Icotec. I'm not even sure what it's called. It's black.
Yep.
But I use the X24 99.5% of the time.
Yeah. I run the Fox Pro
Shockwave.
Yeah, Shockwave. So most of the time, like I said before, me and Nate do a lot of... So he's the main caller out of our group. And then Andy, him and his buddies, they kind of switch on and off on everything.
It depends if we're in tournaments or if we're kind of jacking around, honestly, because I'm going to go ahead and make the admitment, my realization. I'm gonna tick off our buddy Corey. I'm sorry. I'm just a Lucky Duck guy, I guess.
Like, oh gosh.
I
will say this though. We went hunting with Corey. I wanted a 360 really badly.
Oh, yeah. Have you messed with the 360 yet?
Dude. I've only heard it once, and it's pretty impressive, but I don't have one yet.
I don't want to like skew it by any means. The Lucky or the Fox Pros are top of the line. We'll never say anything bad about them. I like my Lucky Duck.
Yeah, and I like mine too.
I am a very big Lucky Duck fan. I have very good success with it. So I will not knock it. I'm just going to go ahead and say I'm on the Lucky Duck bandwagon.
It's okay to be who you are.
I'm just going to admit. I'm coming out of the closet, okay, guys?
Nothing wrong with it.
But I run a Lucky Duck. I do a lot of our – like, if we're in a tournament, I do a lot of the calling for our group unless it's something that I've called prior, and then we switch. And Austin, the other one in the group, he has X24. He'll call it. So we'll bounce back and forth. Whenever that happens. Now at nighttime, I just ended up I'm okay if they're the shooters and I'm the caller. Like, I don't mind not being the one that has to take the shot.
Yeah.
Like, the dead coyote's a dead coyote in a tournament for me. And I don't know.
The problem with calls is all three of those companies have really awesome guys that make calls sounds.
Yep.
That then load them for you. Rick Paulette with Lucky Duck, Tony with Icotech, and then obviously Tori Cook with MFK. And I'm just a collector of cool shit. And so, like, I hear some of these calls, and then you get them. And what's nice about it, to be honest with you, and Andy hit the nail on the head, is they're just different. Mm-hmm. They don't sound the same. Their calls are different.
Yep.
And so, like, if you go to a property over and over, it just – I don't think coyotes look at it like we do, but it makes you, like, you know what? This property's never been called with this Lucky Duck, or this property's never been called with this, as far as we know, right? Somebody could be hunting it next door with this.
Right.
But
– you want my ultimate call in my mic. I don't have much experience with Icotech or Tony's sounds.
Neither do I. But,
give me – like the X360, that thing's badass. So you give me that call, and you let me put MFK and Rick Paulette sounds on it.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think there's a coyote I can't call.
I wish you could just put them all. You probably can. There's probably a way, but I'm just a gear junkie. So
I don't think you can.
Legally, there is not a way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. I don't know. I've never tried.
I think there was a scandal at one time.
Oh, no shit.
That somebody somebody figured out how to reformat and sold a bunch of calls with Lucky Duck and Fox Pro sounds.
I didn't know that. Yeah. And, no, but I mean, that's the thing is, like, those guys like MFK, Tori, and like Rick, you got a problem.
Oh,
like,
they'll take care of you.
They take care of it. You know, it's just obviously I know those guys don't work directly for those companies. At least I don't think Rick does. I know Tori doesn't work directly with or for Fox Pro. But, it's just I'm a gear junkie, and that can get you in trouble because I get to the point where I don't remember, like, what was working last week sometimes because I play a little too much. But,
Drew, what's your nighttime setup? And then what's your call of choice?
I'm running the X24, and my nighttime setup is actually what I was telling you about before because I was looking at it. It's sitting right next to me, but it's 243 Ruger American Gen 2. I have an IRA Bolt 60 on it.
Still miss my IRA. I miss that.
How you like that IRA?
I like it. It's awesome.
It's a solid rig, man.
My first thermal was an IRA Rico MK1.
Yep.
And I miss it. It was an awesome thermal, and it was only a 384.
Yep.
And still was really clear. But you know,
yeah. Now that
I never tried the bolts out, but they seem pretty.
Now
cool
that too. I got a 1024, I don't. It's hard to like.
Oh dang! You got a 1024.
Yeah, that's the. It's. I mean, it's not the 1280, but it's just a step below.
Still. Yeah,
but it's
ain't no 640.
Yeah, that's all we're running, 640s.
Yeah, no, it's pretty sweet. I mean, can't complain. But it's just it's fun. Like, you know, when you can see a dog's eye sockets and you just see some detail and things that I'm always trying to focus and record, and I screw myself a lot because I'm always trying to record everything.
Question.
That is the thing I do like about the Athlon is it's got the automatic shot recording. So when you shoot, it previously records, I believe it's 5 seconds prior to 10 seconds after. Yep. And I might be off on that time. you get that automatic shot record, yeah, so I can at least go back and pull kill shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, my recoil activated video doesn't work very good, so I don't even have it on. I always
just run start manual. Recording, and I always record manually. Mine's like I'll pull my phone out, hit record, and put it in my pocket. Even though our thermals have mics,
yeah,
I don't know why I do that, but it's just habit. But
my bolt cycle on my gun,
yeah,
will set off, the recoil. Yeah.
See, I wonder if it's just because it's the 22-250, but mine is like money almost every time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't miss a coyote shot, but if I'm like still shooting,
messing with
like
it.
When I was jacking with those when I was having trouble, I had like 3-4 videos each day.
Right, while
I'm
trying right.
Question on your 1024.
What?
Will moisture still mess with it just like it does the rest of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It has an ultra clear setting that you can turn on, like if it's foggy or moisture in the air, that helps significantly. But, I mean, it's better, you know, than a 640 even would be, but it's still a thermal. So
we talked about that night that we told you that story, where me and Micah were rusty. Two hours later, we were done hunting because it got so wet out and so foggy that
it wasn't funny.
We had a triple that we couldn't even really tell what was going on with them. It just got to the point where like this isn't even fun anymore. The timber looks like just gray clouds at this point.
Once you start where you can't see terrain features and stuff, it's like this sucks.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it gets tough.
Yeah,
then you kind of lose your bearings a little bit of distance and.
LRF starts not working near as good, you know, just you kind of you're getting blinded more than you already are. Right. And then, you know, you just like on that one, we
can't see shit out of this thing.
And it was really just really wet out. But I was just curious that, you know, the 1024 and the 1280s, how much better they were at handling that.
Yeah. I mean, they are better just because they have faster processors and, you know, all the those things. But they're still, you know, they're still going to get affected and, you know, it's still thermal and all thermals are not good, especially, you know, fog and high moisture and
still
things
electronics.
Like that.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Have you guys got anything new this year? Like any new gear? Obviously you got your call, but that Icotec, but
I did. Yeah. It's the Night Stalker. I just thought of the name.
There you go.
Man. FY. Well, the call, outside of that, I did get a new rifle, but it's technically a deer rifle. I do like it a lot.
Yeah.
And I thought about using it during that tournament I took my son on. But it's a 6.5 Creedmoor. Sorry. 6.5 Creedmoor.
I have some 95 grains for that.
Do you? What am I shooting at? What am I shooting out of that thing? I can't remember.
But I got 95.
143s because it's for deer. Yeah. But I really like that rifle. It's a fun shooting rifle, and it's a Christensen MPR Gen 2 6.5. 6.5. And but outside of that, I think pretty much everything else is. I started wearing a bino harness this year.
Yeah,
daytime.
There you go.
I've been against bino harnesses my whole life. I just don't wear them. I don't know.
Makes no sense to me.
And
that is weird.
I finally started wearing it during the day, and I've kept it on.
Now the 6.5 Creedmoor thing's making sense.
We all own one, just FYI.
Oh, yeah, we all own a 6.5. You know,
everybody won at once. 6.5 Creedmoor.
Yep. Though I've seen a lot of coyotes get shot with the 6.5 Creedmoor, and it wrecks them.
Oh, I bet it does. It I would take it out. It's just it's heavier than my other.
Mine weighs 10 pounds.
Yeah, it's mine's a Savage 110, I think. And it's just a heavier gun. I'm just like, why would I take that when I can, you know, take this lighter rig?
Mine's definitely a deer blind gun.
Right.
Heavy, especially your barrel.
Yeah, that thing's 20 pounds.
It's heavy.
It's a badass gun. It shoots great, but, yeah, it's just too much for, you know, running and gunning.
What about new gear for you all? I know you got something new that I can't believe it took you so long to get.
What did I get?
The throw lever.
Throw lever?
Your Arca mount.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I upgraded my Athlon, the head mount. So it had one of those turn knob deals, screw-ons. Yep. I never had any problems with it. And then
I
one day.
I know.
Yeah, then one day Nathan's like, dude, So I was like, you know what? I thought of it, and I just bought it. Dude, that makes a big difference.
It really does.
Best thing ever. I don't know how it took you so long.
Like,
it's
yeah.
one of those things, though, that you don't realize how nice it is until you have it.
Right. And you can get them for $30 on Amazon. I mean, you know, sure, there's more expensive ones out there, but I literally spent like $28 on this thing. I'm like, this is so much better. Yeah. Other than that, I'm pretty much running most of the same gear I ran last year. Nothing major's changed besides that. Andy, you got anything there?
I mean, we all do. We all skipped over it because we've been using it for a little bit. But my HuxWorks 6 Flow is new.
The suppressors are new
for this year.
Yeah, so, we're all running HuxWorks now.
I really want to put my thermal back. Well, I have the thermal on the Seiko, and I'm left-handed, and so I have a 6 Arc as well, almost identical to Nathan's. I don't know why I quit running it because it's a AR, and I can't afford that many bullets. I really want to put it back on it because now being a flow through, I don't have gas in my face. So I really want to put it back on that. But also, like, that little 243, that Go Wild, is like my left hand, and I'm so comfortable with it. I really want to put my thermal back on it.
Yep.
I'm trying to refrain because, I like guns, and I want to use all of them. So I'm trying to, diversify my collection, my usage. So the HuxWorks is nice. I'm really contemplating putting everything back on that 6 Arc. Trying to practice a little trigger control.
It's hard.
But
good luck.
The only thing I've learned, so I don't have my HuxWorks on my 6 Arc yet, and I have heard that flow-through suppressors – can cause, I guess, or can create problems with feeding issues, like because there's no gas coming back.
Not as much gas coming back.
And so I'm curious when I do put my Flow 6K on that, what I'll have to do. A lot of people say they don't even notice any issue, but some people say they've got to turn the gas all the way down, or is it all the way up?
All the way up.
All the way up.
Give it full.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm curious what happens there. We know a buddy who has a 22 arc, I believe, that he has had to have some feeding problems with flow throughs. But honestly, the biggest complaint I have about the 6 arc is how dirty it gets with all the gas.
Which the 6 flow should help.
Yeah, I was going to say, that flow through should help big time.
100%, yeah. So I'm excited to see that because I'll clean it a decent amount just because I don't like really dirty stuff and – it gets dirty quick.
That's one of the things I did not like about a gas gun was I would get that thing so dirty, and then you're cleaning it, and they suck to clean. And then you go, and you're like, okay, I got this thing clean. Now I'm going to go hunting. Now I just shot 15 times again, and now we're right back to getting dirty again.
Right,
Another new toy, I got that 22 flow.
You got your little side pistol.
Little 22 pistol, and... it's fun. It's a good time because sometimes you walk up to something, it hasn't fully expired, and you don't want to see anything suffer, so you can speed it along. But funny story, our first set we had in that tournament, we had one coyote was still alive, went underneath this pine tree. I told you guys the story, didn't I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I was trying to fix my feeding issue, happened on the first of my gun. So I just handed my pistol to my buddy I was hunting with. I said, go get it. I didn't know it was going to turn into what it did. He ends up army crawling under this pine tree with that pistol, and that coyote's still alive. And we're off probably 60 yards away from this tree, and all of a sudden you just hear a tap, tap, and the tree just glows twice, just whoop, whoop. And he drags it back out.
So now, when you say under, you meant basically inside.
He belly crawled under that tree.
Because it had burrowed.
Yeah.
There was like a den.
Just like a pine needle, like around the base of a pine tree type deal.
Out.
And he to get to it, he had to lay on his belly and like crawl with this live coyote up in there.
That's ballsy. That's ballsy. Because I've had one coyote that was alive in my truck. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had that? This was, I think,
the craziest thing I've ever.
Like the second season or something like that.
Yeah.
We go, we make a stand. I think a double came
in.
It
was very cold that night.
Yeah, really cold. Get one dead. I go and I grab the coyote.
Yeah, I take a video.
Yeah, we take a video. He's got a video of me dragging the coyote out of the field, throw it in the truck. We go to the next set.
By the way, this drag is probably 200 yards up
yeah.
a hill.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not a short drag. Plenty of time.
To where you would think you would notice something.
We cross a fence, throw the coyote in the truck.
Yep.
Go make our next set. Or we drive, go, and we get out of the truck, go make our next set. We come back, and the coyote is sitting up in the back of the truck.
Looking at me in the face you're when like, I go to put my tripod in the
you're
bed.
Like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
Looking back, if you see the video that he took of me, you can see the coyote try to stand up, like while I'm dragging it, and I just didn't notice it, man.
Yeah,
like,
it was so yeah,
oh
yeah.
my gosh,
yeah.
But when you are face to face with one, no, it was crazy. And like, I remember like
freaked
Russ
us out.
And we're like, what do we do? Like, so
it's in the back of the truck.
Like, luckily, we didn't freak out that much, and we just rustled drug it out. Unfortunately, had to finish it off, but like.
Like, you feel bad almost.
You do. Like, that's not what you yeah. want.
No. Right. You definitely don't want it, but.
You didn't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
No. How was it not dead? Like,
I killed
how did
you.
It not try to bite you at any point during that? If
right.
If it was alive enough to sit up 20 minutes later, you know, which obviously it was messed up because I put my hands over the truck, put my tripod in, and I look up and it's looking at me. There was,
I wish we had licked him. Just like,
obviously, it was in a bad way.
Yeah.
But that's one of the craziest things. So having those 22 pistols, I would like to do the same thing. I know Micah mm-hmm. wants to.
Yeah, I just started doing that this year as well.
Do you keep it on your leg? Or
so
what
how do you
do?
Carry yours?
I carry it behind my vinyl harness.
Yeah.
Do you have an actual holster for that?
Yes.
Okay.
So I have like this plate that goes on the back of my vinyl harness, and then my holster is in between the plate and the vinyl harness. It's actually pretty comfortable.
Hmm. There you go.
You have to send us a link where you got that. Yeah.
I could send it to you guys when.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be interesting.
I'll send you my phone number after this.
I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. I have an airsoft holster. Like Laura Croft.
Yeah.
High holster.
Well, and that's what our buddy Austin's the first one to have done that. Yeah. And that's what he does. He keeps it on his,
yeah.
on his thigh. You yep. know, on the outside of his thigh. And
that's a $20 one off Amazon.
Hey, man, if it works, it works.
I mean, it does fine, but
it does.
I could see myself getting annoyed with that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even notice it in my vinyl
yeah.
harness.
Yeah,
I had to, like, I was in the hotel, and I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't take my gun. I mean, it was perfectly legal, but
sure.
still. Uncomfortable, and
yeah.
people look at you like
right. the people look at you like, oh gosh,
he's
oh,
John Wick.
Oh, yeah, that's the best. Like Andy has a great story about, but when you're in, it's the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're parked on the side of the road, and you got somebody driving by, and you look over, oh. and you got dudes in helmets pulling out rifles and tripods, all blacked out,
bunch like, of dead coyotes,
bunch of just like. What is going on here?
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
It cracks me up. I laugh every time someone drives by and just slows down. They're like, yeah. what are these dudes doing?
You stop at a gas station to get something, and you've got, like, six dead coyotes in the
– Yep.
Both of us, Andy and I both have – what would you call
yoke
them?
Totes.
Yeah, yoke totes. We receiver hitch, like
– Racks, yeah.
Racks.
Like a deer carrier.
Yeah, yeah. And usually during thermal season, like, they just stay on our trucks.
Yep.
And it's just kind of funny because you'll pull up to a gas station with a bunch of dead coyotes laying in these totes to go get a drink. And from people who have no hunting background, you can tell the looks you get from some of the people.
The funniest one I've ever had is about 2 or 3 years ago, and it was a daytime tournament. And me and Austin had, I don't know, maybe 2, 3 coyotes in the back. Midday, roll through McDonald's. We didn't even think about it. Yoke totes yep. on the back of the truck. We're going through one of them double lines of McDonald's.
Yep. Yep.
And this girl looks over and looks at us, looks at the back, looks at us, looks back, goes, "Oh my God, that's murder!" Damn straight.
Speaking of murder and McDonald's, remember what happened to me during?
Yeah, you have a better one, in my opinion.
So yes. this is not coyote related, but my son killed his first deer with a bow this year.
Yeah,
and on our or was it Bennett? It was Chase.
Yeah, it was Chase.
On our way to the processor, I took the boys to McDonald's.
Yeah.
And we're in line, and we get our food. I pull up, and I start handing food out. And I see two county cops and then a highway patrolman pull into the McDonald's parking spots. Don't think anything of it. I just assumed they were going to grab them some dinner. They get out and they start walking towards my truck and motion for me to roll my window down. And so I roll it down. I'm like, can I help you? Somebody kill a deer? And I'm like, yeah, he did. He got his first one. It's in the back if you want to check it out. Okay, good, good. Then he goes back there, looks at it. We got a call that you had blood coming from the back of your truck. And nice. people were worried, you know. And I'm like, do you think I'm so stupid that I just went and murdered some people and then got, you know, worked my appetite up and I'm going through the drive-thru at McDonald's right quick with blood coming out of the truck?
Just be
and
dripping. Like,
it was dripping. She was bleeding out the back just like they do. But it was hilarious. Those cops kind of got a kick out of it. And I'm just like, you got some people, you know, it's as a hunter, you do think like people understand what you do. But there are a lot of people out there that have just don't understand what we do and also hate what we do for some stupid ass reason. But
yeah, we did that one time coming home from Kansas. We had like maybe four dogs on the, you know, carrier on the hitch. We brought like four nice ones home or something, you know, one's the tan or something. And this lady drove by and flipped us off. And we're just like,
yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. I did your cat a favor.
Right. Yeah. Leave me alone.
They're just cute. They just want to live.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, okay. And we love coyotes. Like, yeah, I don't want them to disappear.
Oh, yeah.
We like hunting them.
Part of the ecosystem, yeah, of course.
But, you know, that's part of it. They're predators, but so are we.
We've been flipped off going down I-70.
Interstate. It happens.
Going to check-in tournaments, you have, you know, 6-10 coyotes in the back, and, like, people going by just, like, flipping you off, like, you're a jerk. Yep. Kind of like, eh.
Thanks.
Is what it is, guys.
Means we're being successful.
Yeah. I got a question for you, and this kind of goes back to our thing. So, what's y'all's thermal season?
Ours in Wisconsin is 24/7.
24/7. Has it always been that case?
I think so.
Okay.
As long as I've been around, that I recall.
Be a good one to ask.
Yeah. So what? Always. Like, what are your numbers? You know, like obviously you do a bunch of predator hunting.
On a good thermal night, what's a good?
Yeah. Like, good what's amount? A good night?
Six is a good night.
Okay.
I mean, we have lots of numbers. I think that. So I think we have the same, if not more, coyotes than we've ever had. I think that we have more coyotes because there's so much more pressure and they're so much more educated. There's very few guys that are really good at it. Yeah. You know, I can think of maybe, you know, four or five guys that I know of that are really good at it. Other than that,
appreciate it.
Random people that are around here.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
And then everyone else is just kind of goes for leisure, you know, they just
here and there.
Yeah.
For fun.
Like, so you guys.
Yeah. Kind of. I mean, that's true. It's true. You know,
I'm
just
joking.
Because that was kind of our debate, you know, with this our new thermal season coming out starting with 9 months, we're curious what the numbers are going to be, cuz like right now a good night is upper teens,
like
low
20s. If you're talking a night as in 7 p.m. to, let's say, 5 a.m.
Yeah, all night long.
Like, you can – I mean, there's – if not necessarily us, but, I mean, if we want – you know, there's –
if you're in a tournament and you're not killing upper teens, you're not going to place.
Yeah, you're not going to place.
You better be in the upper teens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think what I've noticed that's changed the most is that daytime hunting has gotten poor, to an extent, to a point now where nobody day hunts at all, and now the day hunting's better.
I said that. He did. I said that.
God.
I said
how much,
that.
Time out. How much did he pay you? How much did he pay you to say that?
None. But
oh, damn it.
But it did go for, like, when thermal started getting popular, the day hunting sucked, and it started getting rough.
Yep.
And then now it's to a point where people don't even attempt to day hunt anymore. So the day hunting has gotten better, but that's just been in the last year.
That is literally better, verbatim what I said.
Are they easier to call during the day than they used to be?
Yes.
Really? That is – so we had a discussion –
but simply because no one's doing it.
Right. That's kind of what my argument was.
That is what you
said. I was like, if nobody does it,
damn it, it is what he said.
The coyotes aren't going to die during the day, and then they're going to almost like flip. At least that was my thought, right? And who knows how long that will take.
It's going to take a few years, but I think from my experience, it goes in this wave of like all of a sudden they get more pressure and they kind of, you know, say, okay, I'm going to be more careful. It's going to go the same way it did for here. I mean, granted, Missouri is you're probably always going to have some day hunting there, but like up here, I mean, I can't even think of someone off the top of my head that goes and does day stands anymore.
And see, we got some, obviously we just started the longer season, the 9-month season.
Yeah.
But I can think off the top of my head of dozens of guys that will never stop day hunting.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, see, we don't have that here.
Yeah. It doesn't mean, I guess some of them maybe will do it less. I don't know, but.
What's going to happen, though, too, is you're going to have guys that are going to say, oh, the season's open, summertime, family groups. They're going to go out and wipe them all out, and then they're going to go to those same spots in December.
On a wipe, no cards.
And they're going to say, oh, geez, I can't call nothing in, you know.
Right. So would you say, how long has your thermal season been open? Like, how long have you guys had it?
As long as I've been alive. So
really?
Our season's always been 24/7 at least for 15 years that I'm aware of.
Gotcha. Curious if like nighttime numbers got worse to the point.
I don't think numbers are worse. I think they're still the same or more. I just think they're harder to call in.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
Which I figured was going to be the case for us. And we've already actually sort of noticed that. Since, you know, thermal season started in Missouri 4 years ago or whatever it was, you know, that first year it was like, oh, my gosh, this is the coolest thing ever.
Right.
Like,
you make a mouse squeak and here they come.
Yeah, every place you went, it was like coyotes all over the place. It's slowly gotten – it's still good. I mean, we still have – like, you don't expect not to see coyotes any night you go out. Like, it should happen. But – you know, those crazy ones are less.
Where you're getting them. Remember that one we had last year
where they came across the pond dam and we ended up spraying at that one the next time we went because he circled us with Calder?
Yeah.
Yeah, at one of my spots. Oh, wait, you weren't there the first time. It was me and you.
Us.
So the first time we went there, it was like, what, 5 of them within 2 different times that came in? And then the second time was, what, a month and a half later, you, me, him, and Calder were all out there, and that's where we saw that one, like, circle us all, like,
three quarters of a mile. I'm with you now. I know what you're
at. And then we ended up just trying to spray at his ass at 700 yards.
Yeah, but that's just a struggle. I mean.
Yeah. You don't see as much as that is what I'm trying to say, is those crazy scenarios.
How much, summertime are you doing it?
Not much. I maybe go a little. But not much.
Is that just because it's summertime? You're not worried about them. You don't really. It's kind of off your mind, or is it just not productive? What?
No, I think summer is super, super good and productive if you want to do it. It's just like I'm busy, but I like to give them a break. Especially now, I'm only getting less spots to hunt. Like. More and more and more and more of my spots are hunted by other people. Mm-hmm. So, like, I have to really preserve my spots to a point where, like, if I'm going to kill, 3, 4, 5 coyotes off of a place in the winter, like, it's kind of hard for me to go and hunt it all summer, too. You know, it's like, I don't know.
So you're kind of doing a little self-regulating.
Yeah, I guess the way I look at it is I like hunting them in the summer, it's fun. It can be crazy with a big family group piling in on you, but I don't love shooting pups, just being honest. Yeah.
I could see that. I get it. I don't think I'll love it either, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it.
I'm going to go.
I'm going to try it this year since we've never done it. But
don't get me wrong. It's fun. They are pretty clueless, but I will more so like go if someone, a landowner reaches out like, hey, they're bad here. They're all over. They're in my yard, whatever. Right. or like I'll get deer hunters that will bug the crap out of me that they're, you know, all over their trail cameras and whatnot. I'll go make a stand here and there just to keep people happy and, again, keep my spots. Not that I would want to hunt them, but if I know that if I don't go hunt them, they're going to find somebody else.
Right, will. Right.
So I get it. I try to do my part that way. And, you know, if it means me going out there shooting a couple to keep them happy, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously we haven't experienced it yet, so I'm definitely going to go out and experience. But I feel like in Missouri, it's going to get to where, like you, people are just going to start self-regulating. And, you know, well, we're going to give them a break, whatever. But, I mean,
people go to here, people go to the lake, people do fish.
Yeah.
People,
like, yeah. I mean, there's other things to do. There's definitely other things to do. So,
and there's a perfect storm coming, I feel like, too, in our state. And I feel like we're not the only state, but, you know, our state just went to a extended season. It's not 365 yet, but it is 9 months now. Thermals are getting cheaper and cheaper, more affordable to buy. And, I mean, just in the first couple weeks, I know two people that are buying thermals that have never owned one.
Right.
And it's, you know, what'll happen is over the next few years, less people will be successful. And just like our buddy Austin said, the serious people will continue to be serious. Other people, if they don't get successful, which sucks, I don't want people to be unsuccessful, but coyotes are smart. They're going to adapt to all the pressure, and they're going to get harder to kill. And, you know, 5 years from now, some of those people might be selling those things and moving on to something else.
Yeah, I think I'm already seeing that here. Like 2 years ago, you know, it really boomed here. And now you're already seeing that, like, people are getting out of it. And, you know, and like I said, there's only a few people that are really good at it and that are really serious about it. And, I've just realized that a lot of guys just don't care. Like they think it's crazy that I am, you know, so anal about the wind and about the weather and about the, you know, whatever, my, you know, my access, whatever. They're just like, dude, why are you trying so hard? It's just a coyote, you know? And like, those are the people that I'm like, okay, well, your thermal will be for sale in a year.
Right. Right.
For sure. You're just going to walk 50 yards from someone's house and blast rabbit, and if you don't kill one, you don't kill one.
Yeah, right. And teach their own. I mean, whatever, if that's the way they want to do it,
right? But and it don't bother me. Like, yeah, that's the way I look at it too. Is like I used to get really worked up about it. Like, dang, these people are hunting my spots that I've hunted for years, and oh, these people, whatever. And then I just realized, like, these people just don't. Most of them just really don't even
get it.
Get it, and they just want to go a few times, you know, a winter for fun, and don't bother me any, you know.
Well, what's funny is, to shit on ourselves a little bit, I mean, we're part of the reason those people want to go. Like, we have podcasts where we talk about predator hunting. Like, oh, I can't really get pissed off, and then, you know, I do this, you know, like, I'm part of the reason they want to do it. Not that, like, I'm the reason or our podcast is the reason they want to do it. But we advocate for it. We talk about how awesome it is. Yeah, like, okay, have at it, man. You're not doing it right, but if you want some help, let me know, or, you know, get some pointers. I mean, not that we're pros, but we love it. We take it seriously, just like we do with our deer hunting and that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, whatever.
I mean, we all got families, you know, and – if you're going to take time away from home and your kids and whatever, you might as well be successful, you know?
Oh, right.
It ain't no fun to go out there and make blank stands all night.
Right.
No, it's not. That was not a fun night. I mean, it was fun, but it was one of those nights. But
I'll do it, and I'll continue to do it, but I'm getting real tired of my wife asking, how many did you get? None. Man, you're real good at this thing, aren't you? It's the wife.
Oh, yeah.
It's the wife.
Criticism.
Yeah.
What?
Just the little just digs. Little jab. The little digs here and there.
I love my sister for that. Awesome. Yeah.
What I struggle with, you talk about at night and the wind and whatnot, like, I feel I have a really good, in my personal opinion, daytime grasp of how I want to set up for wind.
Yeah.
How I set up in the nighttime, I already know, like, I have to change. It's not the same, and maybe I'm wrong. You can't use the wind the same at night as you do in the day. because they will circle
in the middle of the field
so much farther.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now it also makes me wonder how many coyotes are actually circling me in the day. I never see.
Yeah.
But at nighttime they circle so much farther. Yep. I am struggling right now with how do I get them to close that gap before they circle? Because that is my struggle, is they'll circle a couple spots that 400, 500, 600 yards before they, yeah. I can see that far. And I could see them circling me.
Yeah.
I know I can't shoot that far. How do you set up, if you don't want to give away your tips and tricks?
I don't have any secrets.
I like side winds, you know. I like to see if I can get them to cut the wind sideways. But they always want to just completely circle, and I get so frustrated.
Yeah. I just always try to throw a crosswind, mm-hmm. you know, make sure that I can see my wind,
right.
And then get my call away from me to the upwind,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I guess, you know, maybe where you guys are at, it's more flat. But like for us, like if they circled that 600 yards, they're going to be over the, you know, they're going to be over that hill.
And they would here too. We're not that flat. I mean,
we got some rolling hills,
some areas, but we're mostly like, I'd say 300 yards thermal wise is a pretty far shot. I mean, there's other opportunities here and there.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of terraces, you know. Stuff like that.
Suck.
Yeah, they especially when you don't know it's there at night, and then all of a sudden the coyote disappears. You're like, where the hell did he go? Yeah.
If I had a dollar for every time that's happened in my life.
Yep.
We don't have them here, thank God. But in Kansas, I've beat my head against the terrace numerous times.
Yeah, they're all over the place. I mean, we're very similar.
That's common farm practice around here.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I'm close to you guys where I go in Kansas, so.
You have to come see us sometime.
Yeah, right? Man.
Do some stands.
Now that we have an extended season, we can go out and, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I think that, I don't know. I mean, if you're, the only thing I think that you might have to do is you might have to just pick up and walk at them.
That's why I'm starting to think, like,
if they're going to get mobile. That far.
Yeah.
I thought about that. Like, I'm going to move in
a little more
and start, like, cutting them off. If they're circling me, I'm going to go be there when they're, yeah.
And I don't want to give secrets, but that's what one of our buddies will do. He'll pick up and walk right at him.
Right.
We do that a lot. Like, we'll just send one guy.
Yeah.
Or like, if we see two or three, we might send two. But, right. we did it. We've done it numerous times where we'd send one guy to go and try to cut those ones off or close the distance. And
move your scent, even. Like, you just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works. You know, especially if there's no snow and it's not loud and you can get away with it, it works well. It's just, you know, I think that's part of those dogs getting a little smarter is that big circle, you know.
Yeah.
They've clearly learned at some point in time that they need to keep a distance.
Yep.
Here's the thing, Drew. 50% of the time, it works every time.
Every time.
Yes.
Every time.
Well, like that story I was telling. I guarantee you that dog that circled a month later was one that we missed the month before.
Probably.
Yeah. It was the same spot, same setup, conditions same. That dog knew something was up and wanted to make sure about it. And so he ran forever and crossed a huge ditch to get downwind of us.
Yeah.
And I would bet a lot of money that it was one of the dogs we missed.
Yeah, that's never good.
Yep. Yeah, we killed, three of them out of the four?
I think so.
And I bet that was the one that didn't die.
The one that got away.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep, that's the worst. That's actually another reason why I don't love hunting in the summer, too, is, like, I've gone out, like, I went on a stand this year, like, in August or whatever, and out, you know, wheat fields, you know, belly button tall, and can't really see a whole lot. You know, and you're looking through a thermal, so you're like, okay, it looks like I can see good enough here, and start calling, and here, all of a sudden, here comes a head bouncing through this wheat field, running right at me, you know, gets to 40 yards, I take my safety off, and hears me take my safety off, and two of them just came in and left as fast as they came in, and mm-hmm. I'm like, see, this is why I hate doing this. Now I just educated these two, and just totally mess this up.
Yep. Yeah. It happens, man.
You ever try, like, whistling back at him? Come here, bud. I don't know. See if they're pups. But yeah. No, I am looking forward to that this summer. Like after the first hay cut, just, you know, it'd be around that time where pups should be out. I'm definitely going to give it a shot. Put the permethrin on.
It's,
we got tick problems down here for sure. Get the permethrin on. So we're definitely going to smell a little bit, but going to try it out.
Yeah, no, it's fun. And they're pretty vocal. Obviously, I know you, I mean, I think, Andy, you've hunted them a bit in the summer before.
Yep.
It can be pretty fun.
They get riled up, especially with that decoy dog. They're vocal, they're aggressive.
Yeah. Huh. All right, fellas. Well, we can start wrapping it up. I appreciate your time. An hour and a half has flown by. And
has it really? Holy shit.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah. Well,
time flies when you talk coyotes.
Yep. When you have this many good stories, guys have live coyotes in the back of your truck.
I thought about taking them home and naming them.
Yeah.
Mrs. Rex.
Nursing back to health.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, tell us where to find you guys. What's your social media pages? Where are you guys active on?
Active is not the term I would use.
Okay.
But we're on Instagram.
Present.
Yeah.
Present.
We're on Instagram at Missouri Woods and Water. Spell it all out. On Facebook, we are Missouri Woods and Water Podcast, not Missouri Woods and Water. That page got hacked. And Facebook sucks and didn't give it back to us.
Nice.
And it's still open. We can't
get
it.
It's still open. Yeah. Nobody's using it. It's just there. So it's the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast on Facebook, YouTube, Missouri Woods and Water. We're on all podcasting platforms, just like Drew is. And we do our video shows as well. So check us out on YouTube or Apple, Spotify, wherever you feel like listening to it.
Awesome. I appreciate you guys coming on. It was fun. And we will do it again.
All right, thanks, dude. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Drew.
Yep.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.